So I want to talk about basic management of the patient with an extremity fracture acutely. That is, like, in the emergency department or office, for instance. So first thing to keep in mind is, you know, most orthopedic conditions, certainly orthopedic trauma conditions, have somatic complaints. You know, what I mean by that is, you know, it's the pain is typically generated from a single spot. More specifically, meaning that you can often, or a patient can often, put a finger exactly on where they have the pain. Right now, that's a little bit different to somebody with appendicitis, for instance, where, you know, or a myocardial infarction, where the pain is a little bit vague. You can't just put a finger on it necessarily, and that's really important for diagnostic purposes. So you need to be aware of this, and it's important that you do that. You know, so whenever I see a patient with a suspected injury, I'm always checking to make sure where exactly is the tenderness. And now, patient comes in and has a displaced femur fracture, you know, that's kind of not really necessary. But it's really when you have to use clinical exam to identify something that's not so obvious. And that's far more common, actually. Patient comes into the office, patient comes into the ER, and they twisted their ankle. Let's just use it as an example. You got to know where exactly do they have pain and tenderness. Well, of course, it's in the ankle, but where in the ankle? So if their maximal tenderness is directly over the lateral ankle ligaments, then you most likely have an ankle sprain, right? And that's important, right? You know, it's most likely not a fracture. But if a patient comes in and they have tenderness directly over the, you know, distal fibula, let's just say, not directly at the tip of the distal fibula, but kind of, you know, in the distal fibula, or if it's a kid and they have tenderness directly over the growth plate of the distal fibula, now you got to be worried, right? And it's such a simple thing, but it's really important on clinical examination to know your bony anatomy, know your surface anatomy, and know that if they're tender right over the bone, especially if it's a subcutaneous bone, you know, like the femur is a bad example, but tibia is a good example. If the tenderness is right over the bone, you got to be more worried, right? Shin splints is another example, right? Patient comes in with shin splints is more of a vague posterior medial discomfort. It kind of localizes, but patient with a stress fracture has bony tenderness directly over, let's just say, the subcutaneous border of the tibia, right in one spot. It's a little bit different. Same thing with an occult fracture, right? So bony tenderness right over the bone, you got to be much more worried. Check x-rays, and if you don't see a fracture on x-rays and the patient had an indirect trauma, meaning that they just twisted it, they didn't get hit in the ankle, then you still got to be concerned, and you may need to splint that patient, repeat x-rays in a week, and really convince yourself that there's no fracture there. And if you're in the ER and you see this patient and you're concerned, x-rays are negative, but lots of bony tenderness, a patient can't walk on it, even though it looks like everything's negative, you know, you splint them, tell them they got to see an orthopedist in a week, and, then we can re-examine them. And if it's really just, you know, a soft tissue injury, oftentimes that bony tenderness will eventually disappear and localize to just being, you know, soft tissue tenderness only. And if it's still bony tenderness, we'll repeat an x-ray and sometimes you'll pick up something. Or if it's really critical, a CAT scan or an MRI even to look for occult fractures. In areas where it's really critical, like the femoral neck, for instance, we don't want to miss a femoral neck fracture, we will get MRI scans to look for these. So that's really important. Now, the other thing to keep in mind when you're managing, ER patients who come in with an acute fracture is that, fracture doesn't occur in isolation, right? So there's often a soft tissue injury along with it. There'll be some degree of muscle injury, maybe some skin injury if it's an open fracture, maybe some, other visceral injury if it's like a pelvic fracture or something like that. bladder injury. So, I mean, you know, you don't often just have just the bone fractured and nothing else. So you have to look for associated injuries. You have to check pulses, right? You don't want to miss a neurovascular problem. And you don't just look to see, well, if the patient's wiggling their toes, well, what does that mean? Are they just plantar flexing their toes? Or are they really dorsiflexing the toes? Because it's a big difference there, right? A patient with a foot drop looks like they're wiggling their toes, but they're really just kind of plantar flexing, and then they come back to neutral. You know, same thing in the hand. I mean, is the patient really wiggling their fingers, do they really only have one nerve working, and two nerves are out? Or they're developing a compartment syndrome, you don't realize it because you think they're just wiggling their fingers. So careful neurologic exam is really important. Not only can you have a direct nerve injury, but you could just have muscle injury, or you could have an evolving compartment syndrome you need to be aware of. And it's a whole other topic that I'll also be talking about. So it's important that you get a detailed exam, because that exam might change. You know, somebody else comes back and says, geez, I don't know if this patient's, I can't feel a pulse. And then you say, well, no, I absolutely 100% felt the pulse before. Now you know you got a problem. Detailed neurovascular exam is really important. And like I said, you got to watch for soft tissue swelling. Now, when you immobilize these patients, you have to keep that in mind. Now, most, you know, non-orthopedic surgeons are not going to put circularized casts on patient, because if they develop excessive swelling, you have a restrictive cast on their leg, they can precipitate a compartment syndrome, and you know, until the cast gets cut off, there's nothing you can do about it. Whereas splints can be easily removed, even by the patient. A couple of other words about splinting is to make sure your splints are well padded. Make sure that that the patient is understands what the signs and symptoms are of a neurovascular compromise, so that they can come back and seek medical attention if necessary. So I think that's some of the real basic things we'll do to get started with this. Obviously, we're not going to get into the details of every fracture type, but we will go over a couple of other topics related to fractures that you should be aware of. So thanks for your attention.